It's on.
Okay, for the record, we are meeting part online and part at the school tonight. It is the 14th of October, and it is 6:10. We have Brian Cates and Leonel Nieto, and who else is online? Marty. Somebody else is online.
Is Marty online?
I thought I'd seen another name up there.
Yes, nope. He is. He is
Marty Banks in the waiting room.
He's coming. Yeah. There's only three of us. Yeah, Marty is connecting.
Wonderful. Marty Banks is with us as well. Just for the record, we have absent Charlene. No, Shalene.
Shalene Nuvan.
Shalene Nuvan. Juan Freire, and he's given us his proxy vote. And Phil Shumway. So we excuse them for tonight. We also have two teachers with us as well.
We have a teacher and a PTO liaison.
Oh, you're the PTO liaison. Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and turn the time over to Brian Cates, and he can show us the financial report.
Certainly. Okay. Maybe we need the names for the record of the people that are here. Jesse, Hyatt.
Natalie Pentico.
Rebecca Kemp.
Didn't go around the room, did I?
No, it's okay.
And Cody Gates.
Mary Bank.
And Brian Gates.
Okay. Leonel? Leonel Nieto, Eulogio Alejandre, and Brian Cates. I don't know if we said that before, so we'll go ahead.
Yeah, we did. So, Brian, would you be willing to share the financial report with us?
Let me make sure that he's able to share the screen.
Yes, thank
multiple,
you.
Multiple. Try it and
yeah,
see.
Yeah, it looks like I'm able to.
Good.
Okay, before I do that though, I'll just give a quick update on the audit. It is ongoing. We hope to see a final report. I know originally I had said by the end of this month, I think that was a little bit premature. I think typically we do see it in November. So I think most external auditors are hoping to get those reports out before Thanksgiving. So as soon as I have that to have that available, I'll forward it along to you all. But we did get the state reports, the AFR and APR in certified on time. And that's probably the biggest hurdle after the field work is completed. So at this point, we're working on some last compliance related items. And so far, so good. Okay, I'm gonna share my screen. You should be able to see the summary of the PTIF. You can see a bit of a downward trend there in the PTIF. This last month we had a reinvestment of about $267, so we will continue to watch that and hope for some better reinvestment here as we progress through the year. As far as our budget summary, I apologize for the financial metrics. For some reason the forecasts figures aren't calculating in our system. I'm currently working on that. This, as well as the detail and the PTIF statement, are available on the Google Drive in the folders that Eulogio created. But the operating margin hasn't changed much. We're still sitting between that 10 and 11% mark that we saw last month. Excuse me. We're about 25%. Not about, we are 25% through the fiscal year as of the end of September. And most of our line items as far as revenue and expenses go continue to be in line with what we expect to see. Cash position is strong. We're seeing more reimbursement requests come back, and we'll continue to see that. Wanted to make a note that I think Eulogio is going to touch on this in his report as well. But our October 1 count was good, as it has been the past few years. I believe 537 was that number. And so that's fantastic. As in previous years, we should see a slight bump in our state revenue due to that October 1 count.
As I've mentioned in previous meetings, we continue to work closely. I continue to work closely with Allocio on all of our restricted funds. There are a lot. There was a lot last year, and there continue to be this year. GEAR has a second round of funding that they've given. It's less than last year, but we'll plan for that. And as we know, the ESSER funds, which are substantial, we're planning for as well, as well as all of our other regular buckets of restricted funds, both from state and federal sources. And so mid-year, that will be and continues to be a big to-do on our list as far as making sure that we have the expenses to cover those buckets of funds, not only the expenses, but that we're following the plans that were submitted. Okay, any questions? Okay, Cody, that's my report. Thank you.
Okay, wonderful. Anybody online or here in the room want to ask Brian questions before he completes his report? Okay, perfect. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Did everybody get a chance to see the minutes that were sent out?
Yep.
Cool. I don't see Marty's head nodding. He's just a pitcher. But if you guys got to see those minutes, we could ask if there's any questions about it, and if not, we could make a motion with those from last month.
Just so you know, you're all on mute if you're answering.
My head is not a yes.
Okay.
Any questions, Marty?
Nope.
Leonel, what about you? You're the one that made them, correct?
Yeah, I don't have any questions. I'm good, thank you.
Okay.
No questions.
Okay, so if we could go ahead and make a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the September minutes as written.
I second that motion.
Okay.
And then all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, and that counts one vote for Juan too, so it passes. We can go ahead and upload those to the state site as approved. Do we want to move into the? I know there was a piece that you were going to talk about human resources, but I don't know if that was number two or number three.
Let me look at the agenda. That I don't recall the agenda. Let's see. First is the
all the
audit committee. Yeah.
Which I remember from the past, we had a motion that we had talked about that the audit committee and the financial committee would be one and the same. But that was more like a year and a half ago that we had that plan. So where are we currently at with that? What do you guys recall that we, do you remember when we had that discussion about the audit committee? It was like in March, probably just before COVID.
I can
pull
up the minutes if you want, maybe.
I don't know. That's what you guys had talked about before, but I don't know if you're still leaning in that direction.
That's because the state had said you want to, because we went to that meeting and they're like, you need to make sure you have a financial committee and an audit committee. And as we talked about it, I remember that we said, let's keep it simple because there were so few of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Phil started working with you guys as our financial secretary. So.
Maybe, do they have any suggestions? You guys have any suggestions?
When is it, don't they normally come and present to us February, January or February, the results. For some reason, I thought it was after Christmas that they
had
been coming to share with
Brian, them. When do you think they'll be able to come to share the audit, the results of the audit?
I would say a good time for that would probably be either the January or February meeting, considering it's not going to be ready till November and there's no meeting in December.
I think that's why.
Yeah.
That's what I'd remembered. I'm like, it's pretty standard. We have that one gentleman come. And
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not required. Most schools, you know, some, I think I've seen it once where they, once or twice, you guys have done it once or twice where you have the auditor come. It's not, you know, it's not required. And especially now since an audit committee will be or should be forming. And I think Bill's not here, but I think he has, you know, more information on the previous discussions on that. But It just needs to be three people. You know, there can be some overlap with the finance committee, but there does need to be an audit committee. That was actually, if you remember, one of the questions on the progress assessment that we completed. But to answer your question, if you were to have one of the auditors come and to answer questions, I would think at the earliest it would be the January or February meeting.
Okay. Do we want to have this discussion happen when Phil is here, the next meeting?
I actually think that's a good idea.
Well, the next meeting would be November.
Last board meeting, Phil mentioned that we need to have addressed this meeting. According to the meeting from this.
Yeah.
What was that?
That according to the meeting minutes, we have to have it at this meeting.
Oh, we have to have it at this meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean we have to have it?
We have to have it out of committee.
I will, in reading the minutes, I agreed with that. As long as you guys meet in the evening, I can be part of it.
You can be part of it? Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think...
So Phil and myself.
I don't think there's... you'll have to go back and look at that board training that everybody did.
Yeah.
Look at that again, because that has all the details of who should be on it and how many. And
if I remember correctly, the director should not be part of it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Myself and you
cannot
should not be a part of it.
Yeah.
What if we do it out of committee?
I thought that the whole reason that we had one is that that committee chose who was going to audit the school. That was like one of their major responsibilities,
yeah.
Right? Just to make sure it's independence and
sure.
And those kind of things. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, there are some other responsibilities. Again, like I would go back and review that state auditor training that everybody did. I think it was last year.
Now the audit committee can change. You guys can create it today. Phil, Becky, and one other member, the three minimum. And then once you review the requirements, then you can make you can amend the group, you can change whatever you need to.
Hey, this is Barty. I have a vague recollection that I volunteered to be on that committee. I've got an accounting background, but I don't need to sort of stick my nose in it if others want to participate in that instead.
That makes sense.
Marty, so I'll put Marty, Becky, and
Phil.
So somebody make a motion. You have to.
I motion to approve the new audit group. Committee with Marty Banks, Becky Kemp, and Phil Shumway.
Okay, I would second that. So all in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Okay. Very good.
That counts for one.
Passes.
Excellent. Okay. And then...
I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Marty. Can people see me on the screen, or am I a blackout?
You're a blackout.
Blackout.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Okay, I'll try to fix that. Sorry.
Are you using a laptop?
No.
And I say this because mine was blacked out for a long time, and I didn't realize that my webcam has a little slot that opens and closes. I don't know if yours has that.
Yeah, it does, and it's open.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know. That's where my troubleshooting skills end right there.
It's got to be in your settings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll keep playing with it. Go ahead.
Okay. Now it's the next one. It is talking about having a personnel committee and or an HR representative.
Well, and Marty had been doing some work on that, right? Marty, do you want to begin the conversation with that agenda item?
I think that I don't recall. I hope I didn't drop the ball, but we had discussed. And I remember noting that I thought an HR representative would be a good idea, but I don't recall that we took it beyond that stage in terms of identifying who that might be. Is that a new person? Is that designating someone already within the school? Is that a part-time, full-time. Do I need a refresher?
No, I think everybody's kind of nodding their heads, remembering some of that information. But Brian, do you know if any of the other schools you guys manage has an HR, or does Red Apple offer that service?
HR is a pretty robust department, depending on what part of HR you're talking about. So, I mean, if you're talking payroll and those types of things, and if you're including that into the, overall HR bucket, yeah, we do handle some HR, but it's not
hiring.
Can we ask you a couple of questions between those that are here? The state is just giving us some counsel. And this was one of the issues that they had brought up that might be able to help with some things that were going on. And so a couple of questions that came up. So I'm trying to picture, if I was a teacher here and I came in and I interview and then I get hired, what happens to me then? Like, I fill out my paperwork and my contract. Does that just go to Red Apple? Does that go to the school? Is it Adi that handles those kind of licenses of the state and Cactus IDs?
Adi handles most of the paperwork. Red Apple has the system where we put everything in there.
Okay.
And so
if you're talking onboarding, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All the onboarding, all the licenses, everything is uploaded to the system.
I think before we make a motion to, either vote on having a committee or hiring an HR rep, I think we need to explore exactly what is occurring on the HR side. Because for me, there's also, with HR comes labor relations, employee relations, where they can act, as an in-between between like you and a teacher or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's more of the information. That's the side of HR that I'm more concerned about, are those sensitive topics that employees and their employer may or may not have that we as a third party probably wouldn't be involved in.
Well, what if you had insurance questions or those kinds of things? I'm just trying to figure
like
out how we
benefit related
benefits. There's labor benefits.
So
yeah.
All of that goes to Adi.
We help with that stuff.
Yeah, Adi, and then Adi tells them who to contact.
Okay. What about ensuring that they're, fair and equitable hiring practices? Because I do a lot of HR functions with my job, so some of those are making sure that everything hiring people, there's like a merit, everyone's rated, with the same standards, and that we have fair practices with hiring people. We keep that information, how we do it, how the salary is created, is it fair and equitable, those types of things as well.
So typically, we don't have enough people to hire.
Right.
In the past, we haven't. But now, we are getting even uninvited resumes.
I believe it. You're going to be an employer of choice.
That's right. So now, it's becoming more relevant, the comments that you're making. In the past, we were begging for people to apply, and we were hoping, as you remember, you were on the committee, we were praying that they would accept the position when we offered it.
And even giving the position to maybe not really the best candidate, but it was our only candidate. Yeah.
Now it's changing. So we will need now someone to help us choose the right candidate, because there are choices now. The other that you talked about, now you've approved a salary table.
Right.
And so now when they come in, you just look at the salary table and that's what they're going to get. But that's only professional licensed people. I'm preparing, I have actually been using a similar table for the non-certified people.
Right.
And I will be bringing that to you for your approval. Okay. So that everybody that works at our school, the minimum they will make is $1,285, $1,385, unless they are students in high school, they get $10 an hour.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So just to stay focused on that issue, is the next sequence of the discussion a determination by us board members whether we want to designate, for example, whether we want to hire a new person that would be dedicated HR person, an employee of the school, or whether we want to deputize Apple to serve in that role, or perhaps to designate an existing employee to also wear that hat.
I believe that the options are all of the above. I don't know that Apple would be open to accepting that role, but
I think a couple things need to happen. Once again, I feel like we need to really establish who's doing what and what's happening where. I think it would be beneficial. We don't have enough HR needs, I think, to hire a full-time HR person. But what would that look like if we did hire somebody part-time? Would it be, you know, 4 hours a week or something, you know, or 4 hours every 2 weeks? What does that look like? Kind of looking at, you know, even for labor relations or benefit questions or any of those types of things, you know, just being available to people, even if it's not here at the school, it's that they can email and then this person is, you know, even emailing or reading emails and handling it. So I think we still, Marty, I think we still need to look at all of the things that would be handled by HR, what Red Apple can do, what Elohio and Ari are doing. But I think the biggest gap is in that benefit, is she's handling the, you know, the getting the information and submitting it to Red Apple. But I think there's still, you know, that's a lot of hats also for Ari to be answering, being an HR rep.
She does have an assistant.
Would you say that we would need to understand, I mean, understand a little bit better the hierarchy of the school and some responsibilities?
Yeah.
Because maybe there's some thing that the administration would say, if we could take this off our plates and somebody else were to do it, that would free us up for more.
Right.
For this or that.
Yeah, and then there, I think there's certain things that maybe we don't need to hire if we could then have a personnel committee of sorts.
Right.
But we don't need to hire somebody, but that there's so many members of, you know, paid school officials and or volunteers or that kind of thing.
Because if there was not enough responsibility to justify a position, why would we pay for that?
Right. So the next step, I think, would be I would say that we would just, you know, at this point, we're just discussing what our options are.
That's right. Yeah.
And then I think we do need to explore. So my request would be, Elohio, from you to kind of list what those people do, the support staff in the front office, and how they do that, and who would handle any HR type things. Because also there's things that you shouldn't have to be doing either as the director of the school.
Well, for example, who handles Apple employees, or who handles the onboarding and the requirements from the state for teachers who are still working on like their first 3 years or getting their licenses?
That's Jessica Garay. That's one of the vice principals.
Yeah, okay. So that's the kind of stuff is just, you know, thinking of those different. Yeah.
And Marty, just so you know, my vision of the personnel committee would be different. That committee would hear what is happening with employees. You know, who, how many employees are frequently absent, frequently late.
By committee, do you mean a committee of board members or a committee of employees?
No, committee of board members.
I'm with you.
Yeah, because you really are responsible. You gave me that authority on the charter, but you're welcome to get it back, because you can approve hirings, all the hires in most districts. They approve all the hires. The board approves all the hires, and they also approve all the terminations.
In time, we can flesh out if we decide to create this personnel committee.
Right.
In time, we can flesh out what its responsibilities will be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think separate and apart from that, and maybe. And until we see who's going to man that, who's going to staff that committee, and what conclusions they come to after they have their initial meeting or two, I think we want to move forward with an HR person you know, in some at least in some limited role. And is there anything to prevent us this evening from, for example, refining a little bit more as to whether we want to identify somebody within one of our existing employees and task him or her to take on some additional HR responsibilities, or make the next hire teacher that we hire have a twofold responsibility, teaching and serving a part-time HR representative. Is there any reason why we should move forward with that tonight?
Well, I believe, and you guys are the board, but I'll just give you my input. We need to look at the charter to make sure that, you know, that we're following the charter, because it's very explicit on the charter what you, the board, wanted when you formed it.
Are you talking about the original
explicit
charter or a resubmitted
one? The resubmitted one. Because we kept everything except what we changed on the other one.
Right.
So you have very explicit instructions on the charter as to who supervises employees, who handles all the employee matters. And so we need to look at that to make sure, because in a couple of those things, I just think that you gave up too much. I mean, even with
let's not decide that tonight. Let's
right.
wait till our personnel committee's in place and let them evaluate
so
and make some conclusions in that regard.
What if two of the seven of us do a little further investigation and just bringing some facts in so we have some specific on paper facts the next month when we meet in November? How would you feel about that?
That sounds fine, but I think that we want to be real careful here not to, you know, we've got someone in the, the charter in the school board asking some questions, and I hate to delay our response too long lest he think we're ignoring him.
I wouldn't worry about that, Marty.
Okay. Well, if you have reason to think that we don't need to worry, other than just the emails that we received, I'll take some comfort in that.
I think Cody's been handling those. So
at one point, there was a conversation that I think Becky and myself were asked to ask some of these questions anyway.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Would that be all right if we took on those responsibilities of personnel committee or whatever you want to call it, a short-term investigative group?
Yeah, well, I think just more like administrative administrative audit or something. But basically, I think what needs to happen too is part of that is really, almost doing a charter of sorts of what the personnel committee, what you're envisioning, who provides that information and that data, or what that committee is going to be doing. So that could be part of it. Because I was writing down, thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, you've got a lot of do-outs or action items from this meeting, and Ari's not here to take it down and help you. So I think Cody and I can also come up with, you know, those things that we need. But the big thing, I think, is a division. If you can provide us kind of the distribution of HR duties and labor that is happening with each member of your admin staff, from Ari, from, you mentioned Jessica, yourself,
mm-hmm.
Julia, all of that, like who's kind of doing
which
those
part?
Different pieces,
mm-hmm.
and even it goes as far as how are you storing records, how are you keeping those things, and I think that will be great, I mean, just to know, and then we can take all those things and look at them as a board and say, I think with all of this work, we have enough justification to hire, you know, hire somebody that can take this off your plate. I'm sure you'd like it, and I'm sure Ari would like it, too, to not have to have as much of that responsibility.
And it's cyclical, too. In the beginning of the year, it is time-consuming. Right now, November through March, not so much.
Yeah.
But then it picks up again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is cyclical. I don't know that they can keep the same hours year-round.
Yeah,
that's why.
That's why I'm thinking
it
would be. It could almost even be. I imagine there may even be out there separate companies, just fee basis, because you know, personnel matters. No matter what job you do, there's certain things that are standard across the board. And I'm sure that there's, I even know that there's software out there too, because I do so much stuff with hiring, and we have our own set way of doing it. But I always get, you know, the Googles listening to me. I get stuff come across all the time. That's just even great for databases, so you can pull information about tardies or late or, you know, discipline issues or those kinds of things. Because, yeah, if you're not tracking it, if it's not there, it's not being done. So, yeah. So I guess that I would make a motion. This really isn't a voting. It was just to create and discuss. But I would like to make a motion that Cody and myself were already talking about this, but that we review the HR duties of the Esperanza administrative support and leadership, and Alohio will get us a charter of sorts of what he wants the personnel committee to be doing.
Marty Banks seconds the motion.
Okay.
All in favor then?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
All right, very good.
Okay. The next one, you received a handout for the FERPA policy. Again, this is another template that the state sends to us and for us to approve. And what I did is just insert Esperanza Elementary where I needed to and made a few changes, and that's the...
And Alohio, this is a FERPA review policy, right? Because we've
yeah,
this one.
We have a FERPA policy, but there were a few changes. And honestly, I think they highlighted the changes in blue, but I looked and it looks exactly like the one we had, but they asked us to review it and pass it. And
I was
so,
trying to remember, does it talk about training for staff and faculty on FERPA? At all.
Training. Esperanza,
I can't remember if that was a requirement.
That's number 7. Esperanza Elementary School shall provide training for teachers and administrators on the implementation of this policy. And so we that's in the handbook that we talk about.
Is that something teachers, is that a training teachers have to sign off on?
Yes.
Or it just happens at the
you
beginning
did sign,
of the
right?
year?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year they go through all those trainings and they have to sign off that they looked at all that. And there are tons of things now. That this is just one of them. And so all the schools are being asked to review and pass this policy.
Did you guys have questions for Alohio after looking at that?
I would motion to approve the policy as written.
And I would second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Motion passes then.
And the next one, I'm just going to that right now.
Oh, that's right, the TSSA.
This is the TSSA. This is just a grant that we've had for years. And this is the first year that they've asked us for you to approve it. I sent this to you. It's $88,000. Believe it or not, this is a very small grant compared to the other ones that we have, especially when you consider ESSER, the pandemic funding. We have two of those. And the gear is less this year, but in the past it was higher than this. And what I've included on this is Juan has asked that we have a training for parents for college-bound kids, and we've included it on here. We're going to have several trainings for parents. One of them is the mental health, which is also required. The other one is college path for our students, and we have the other ones that we always do, the parent night, math night, literacy night, what else, science night. So we buy books, we give them to the parents for those that show up to encourage them to come, and we use general funds to buy them pizza, and sometimes we get them water and pizza, and I think that's what we get usually. And so that's what we're going to use this grant, as you've seen. We have to have goals, so we have three goals that we're working on besides the training for parents. Any questions about this grant? And again, we've had this grant for maybe 4 or 5 years.
And how is the dollar amount stayed consistent?
Yes, it's right around the same amount. It's between $80,000 and $90,000 a year.
We have to report on this go up.
I'm sorry, what was that?
We have to write a report on the goals that you have laid out?
We write a report on all the grants, just a basic report on those, and the auditors audit the records to make sure that we're spending the money the way we said. So we do get an audit, and we do a basic report for the school. It's called the School Improvement Plan, SIP, and so we tell them what money we use for what.
Any other questions you can think of?
Do we have any reservations about being able to organize those? How many training meetings would there be for the parents?
We have 5 a year. We have 1 math, 1 science, 1 English, mental health, and career college path.
That sounds pretty ambitious. Do we think that we can implement those meetings?
Absolutely we can. We've done it for the last few years. Now, they're not all well attended. Literacy, we get about 150 parents. Math, we get about 80. Science, we get about 40, 50. And it stays consistent from then on for the career or college and career is about 40 to 50. And the science is 40 to 50. And mental health, we've had ups and downs on the mental health training. 1 year we had over 100. I think the last year we had it was over 100 people in person.
Do we open those to current parents or current and past?
The question is, do we encourage people that former parents and new and the parents that are here now? We typically only target our parents. The 550 kids, 540 kids that we have in the building.
So then with this new, with the addition of adding in the college-bound students, would that be alumni of Esperanza? Or, I mean, every student would be college-bound.
Right, but we advertise to our families that are okay. Currently here. We could allow others to come, and typically they do come, but if they have siblings here. Those that have siblings, usually the older kids come. But we just want to train the parents, even if they have younger kids or older kids. We want to train the parents.
That's why I asked that, because I thought, well, maybe, you know, we had 6th graders that now are getting ready to go into high school or even graduate. Maybe we would have resources that they would understand better than they're getting from their own schools.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we could advertise to others, but... You know, we're targeting the kids that are here at this time.
And that's just one additional training, right?
Yeah.
Or one additional night.
So yeah, just one night.
And something that's has low attendance. I still get Esperanza emails.
Good.
So I was just thinking maybe if you even just put it out there, alumni.
We do advertise on the Facebook page, and we have over 1,000 families who look at our postings. So. I guess we could, on our Facebook page, we can say that former and current families can attend. We haven't done so in the past.
But they definitely do offer that at the high school and junior high.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Even today, I was listening to Hunter announce about FAFSA training.
Yes.
Like all those things. So.
The high schools, Natalie Pentico, the PTO liaison, says that the high schools do that, and they do. And I can tell you that we've had more people come to ours than they have theirs, because I worked at a high school and we had 10 to 15 parents, and it was the parents that really didn't need to be there. They were college graduates themselves.
I was gonna say, that's how it always is.
And but not here.
Yeah, no,
the 40 families that came had no idea anything about how to register, how to attend college or any of that kind of stuff. So our parents, as Juan mentioned before, when he asked us to have this, our parents do not know. And we are training people that do not know. The high schools, I can tell you from experience, that was not the case.
Are there different teachers that take leadership of those, or is there like a TSSA
planning
committee?
The team is right there. I think I even have it on there. Federal programs coordinator, special ed teacher, vice principal, two lower grade teachers, two teachers, one lower grade and one upper grade. So that's the team that puts all the trainings together, or not all the trainings, two trainings, the mental health and the college path. The other one is teachers. There's a team of teachers that take the lead on the math, the science, and the English. The literacy one is the one that is best attended. We usually always have over 100 people. In one case, we had almost 200.
Was that the really awesome one with all the corn, the science one?
Yes.
Yeah, that one was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I got to volunteer and be at the Museum of Natural History booth.
Huh. Yeah.
It was very well received.
I'd love to volunteer and help with your math and see if we could help the attendees.
Awesome. We definitely can use, because with the more, the merrier.
PBS used to come out and do stuff too.
They did. They still do, but the last year is because of the pandemic. What we did is we just sent books home and asked them to read, and they were supposed to bring back a note that they read them. Yeah. So it.
Yeah, we would. With Cooper, yeah. I mean, Cooper and I, we used to go to quite a few of them. And a lot of it was just because I was asked to help.
This just provides a little bit of funding for books and for bonuses for the teachers that are putting it together and running it.
All right. Are there any other discussion points you want to bring up? If not, let's go ahead and make a motion.
I would motion to approve the TSSA grant or program plan and grant submission.
Barry Banks seconds the motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, very good. We appreciate you guys for being that part. I know that... Leonel, with your time, we have finished the pieces that are mandatory for voting. We are going to continue with our director's report.
Mine is very, very quick. So let me, I need to first share my screen.
I'm going to go and make it out. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Come on.
Let's see, where is my, oh, right there. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Awesome.
No, it's churning.
It's coming, maybe, oh. You see it now?
Yes.
Excellent, so I don't know if I told you, we did take our picture last time, and you know Karina Taylor? She's a photographer now, so we hired her, and she came and took pictures of the faculty and staff. Not only this, but she took also individual pictures of the teams, the grade level teams. And this is one of them. Enrollment is still holding steady at 536. As you can see, we're trying to distribute the kids across, and the upper grades is a little difficult because they're bigger bodies and they don't always fit in those classrooms. So we have more kids in the lower grades and a little bit fewer in the upper grades.
What accounts for the change in the sixth grade group?
We don't we don't replace fourth and fifth graders. So we just keep, if they drop, they drop. Every once in a while, a kid that leaves and then once to come back as a fifth grader, we might allow them to come back. But typically, we just fill the lower grades. We keep a waiting list that is very healthy. As you can see, we have 161 students on there. We had 146 a month ago. So it keeps going up. Our, as I mentioned last time, that our kids were going to perform at Real Salt Lake's game against the Los Angeles Galaxy. And you can see there, Ari Ramirez was one of the first kids that joined our mariachi band when we didn't have one. And so she continues to perform. And so she did the national anthem at the beginning of the game. And the gentleman right next to her was signing the national anthem as she sang it. So it was a beautiful day. The weather was good. Our kids got down to the field, as you can see them there. And we actually took our dancers as well so that they could dance while the kids played their music. Our students also participated in the Mexican Independence Celebration. There in the middle you see the Consulate of Mexico, Jose Borjon, who invited us to come, and our kids are there in the back behind him.
Are you all seeing this photograph?
Are you seeing it?
Yeah.
Are you seeing it?
I've seen it. It's just on the side perimeter. I'm not seeing it as the main photograph in the middle.
I think that's because of how you have your settings on your computer.
Up on the top right, I think you can click gallery view versus speaker view.
Right.
And then you'll be able to see it big.
No. I mean the screenshot. I'm getting the whole PowerPoint. But instead of
the picture doesn't pop into your PowerPoint. The
picture on the side's not zooming into the middle.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
That's no big deal. Go ahead.
It's a great picture.
I'll pull out the magnifying glass.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it is. Our students will be performing at BYU for a Christmas. I think it's one of the departments is having a Christmas celebration. Mm-hmm. And they invited us to come. And they're actually going to make a donation of $500 to our kids. I didn't expect that, but usually when the universities invite us, they don't have a lot of funding to give us, but they will this time. So Juan apparently gave him our contact number, and so we're excited to be going there. And that's it. November, our next meeting is the 11th.
Might not make it.
Uh-oh. We'll miss you. Questions? Oh, you know what? We have the parent liaison.
Just chop liver.
No.
No, you were right after.
You're right after me.
Yeah, okay. We just haven't had anybody for
a
while.
Yeah, we haven't had anybody for a while, so. That's it, unless you have any questions.
Thank you, Lokio.
Thanks. Is that the next item on the agenda?
Yeah, PTO is the next
PTO
one.
Is next.
Wonderful.
PTO report.
All right. So, again, my name is Natalie. Currently, our board is looking like 10 people. I think it's going to take a little while to start really seeing faces more regularly again because of the pandemic. And especially some of my moms that have gone, it's because their children are older. So they left, but we recently had parent-teacher conference, and we decided to go back to how having volunteer parents come and make meals for our teachers. So that went great. We had 6 of our current members help with that. So that was putting it together, putting the menu together. So it was each crock pot being different and communicating with each other that we weren't overlapping the types of food that they were going to have, and then we did have some members able to come and help at the end, so that was really nice. So in seeing them and in conversing with them through email and text message, we started discussing Day of the Dead, so that's our next big event, and we're happy to have it back because I know everybody's really wanting that. So that will be on October the 29th. And so what has really worked out is reaching out to our surrounding schools that some of our students feeding to and asking for their Latinos in Action Club members to participate. And because we do, it seems like we do have about 40 to 50 kids that will be volunteering for that. So they will come from Granger, Cypress, Kearns. I'm missing one.
Hunter?
Not Hunter. Not this year. They had to pull out. So Granger, Hunter. No, sorry. Granger, Cypress, Kearns. Oh, and Salt Lake Community College. Sorry. I was jumping the gun. So Salt Lake Community College as well, they have their own group. So we'll have about 5 to 10 of those members. So what we discussed was that our parents, rather than being in charge of games or food, they would actually be in charge of a group of students, being sure that they got snacks or a break or food, and just kind of making sure that they're on task and in their surrounding area. So rather than being responsible for an actual post and staying there. So that is that. Ticket sales will be a week prior. And what we will do this year, since we can't normally, we would do like a before and after school where they would purchase, parents would purchase. But we won't do that this year. We're just going to send out a flyer and students will have the opportunity to come to our office and pay before or after school. And what we will do is hand tickets to our teachers to hand to, okay, so actually it's more like a pass. So if students purchase prior, they get 10 extra tickets. So they will spend $20 and they get 50 tickets. And so that it doesn't get, they're not losing their tickets prior to the event, we give them sort of a pass. But we in turn keep kind of like a receipt in our records in case the student loses it. But what we've, I was reminded was, don't do it more than a week prior than the event because they will lose it. So we have a higher retention of them keeping it. And this allows us that when they come through the door, there's a side that's like, here's my pass, here's your tickets. And there's also the option of, here I need to pay still. So it keeps the crowd kind of going and not climbing, like just packed in front of the door, and they can immediately start playing. So that's our next big event. What else? Oh, and then after, once we get Day of the Dead out, then PTO will focus on field trips. It's a little different. Well, okay. So I guess I haven't really decided yet what should happen, because in the prior years before COVID, I actually had a mom that, a PTO member that was, it was so great. She just narrowed it down. Like, I got the information and was like, can you look into these? And she would look them up, have them and schedule them. And then we, and then I would pass her the bus information and she would schedule it. So it was one PTO member that took care of all of it. And then I just relayed the information to our teachers. It ran so smooth, and I wish I could get somebody, a parent, again, to commit to that, because she really did love just having that as her responsibility. What I'm noticing a lot this year, and from last year as well, when we were like a pandemic PTO that didn't really do anything, they want to participate in their children's classroom. Class. Mm-hmm. They want to participate. They want to be called a PTO member. But they're like, what can I do for my teacher? And so that's not really the idea. And I try to let them know, like, but these are, we have like a list of events for the year. So I told my mom, well, I have a dad too. I told our PTO members that I would like to just give them the list of all the things, and they could rank kind of what's their favorite interest. I also mentioned to them, like, it would be kind of nice to have one PTO member in charge of like a grade or even a quad, because we have three quads. So that means I'd only have three PTO members that would be in charge of them. But not a lot of feedback on that. So, I mean, it's hard. Everybody's jobs and lives and children and I want to keep them engaged. I know for sure once these events start coming out, they'll get excited and I'll see more of them. I mean, they were excited to bring food. And that was, and I know I'll see them for Day of the Dead, but, you know, it would be nice to have a bigger set of moms and parents that are willing to come in. I'm not really, okay, I guess this is where I would need some suggestions, because I am all about not wasting people's times. And what I've noticed in the past is setting a time for a meet and people just canceling, and I get like one parent. But I'm really good at communicating with them through email if that's necessary, so we do that. But I kind of am thinking, maybe do I start a Zoom type of meeting, and that only pertains to one topic and one topic only, and only needs to be like 15 minutes. You know, just kind of like, okay, the next item is field trips. The next item is another parent-teacher conference in February. The next item is chocolates. We're bringing that back. We're going to do a fundraiser finally. We have a new activity, I guess we could call it, for the school year that we're going to try to do a drive-through where they come and watch a movie and kind of make it feel like a drive. Well, I guess it's not really a drive-through. It's like, come bring your campy chairs and your picnic tables, so, or picnic blankets. So that's
when it gets nice. I would encourage you guys to do more outdoor events like they did with the mariachi and the graduation and stuff last year. That was awesome, sitting on the lawn and everybody just presenting in front of the school or doing things. So if there's events that where we're outside, that's awesome.
I think the teachers too like the parade that we started the year before, and then we did it again. They really enjoyed that.
I like that.
Yeah. It goes a lot smoother too, and there's a lot more space.
Yeah.
So people felt more. So yes.
Question. Sorry, I know I might be going off topic by bringing this up, but have you considered doing like a star party?
A what?
A star party. For, yeah. So there's a the Salt Lake Astronomical Society just has a bunch of members with telescopes that they would. They provide they call them star parties. It's more in the evening where students and parents can just go to look through telescopes at the night sky.
What's the organization called again?
SLAS, Salt Lake Astronomical Society.
Well, and I've heard of them hosting them like on top of one of the buildings at the U. But if you go to Tooele in Stansbury, not Tooele, but Stansbury, they host different events like that too.
They have a
decommissioned satellite that now they converted that into a telescope, which is really, really cool to see.
Yeah, my dad used to be a member of the SLAS, so we would do a lot of those. That's cool.
Yeah, that sounds really fun.
I know.
I can look into that and see what exactly, because I'm like, if we did it off of our campus, I wonder how great our attendance would be. Like saying we need to find like a area that's extremely dark, or, but I would like to look into it, because if, I mean, we have that beautiful patch of grass right there, and if we can set it up there, that it's close by.
There's a, and I can even bring my telescope in. But like even just with the little bit of light that we have, we could even make it just a half hour to an hour star party, just looking at the brightest objects.
I wonder if it's something that could be attached to the science committee's night.
Yeah,
the
science
committee. If it was late enough,
that's
and you
good
do it
idea.
When before it starts getting bright.
Are you on the committee?
Be that.
No,
be
I'm
a,
not
have
science.
A,
I,
one
know,
of the
I think that's Maestra Chavez.
Chavez?
I think.
It's Chavez, Amaya, and there's one more. Gosain, I think. There's three teachers that do the science one.
How did parents respond to Zoom type things during
not well.
Pandemic.
Yeah.
Not
so,
well.
Yeah. Just
not a lot of tech savvy. Even text messages are great sometimes. It's interesting that I can
even
get more response
in
email
houses.
Than I can text.
Huh. Interesting.
Even doing bilingual, Spanish or English, but I think it just depends.
Yeah.
But you're finding that there's parents that want to participate in individual classrooms or individual areas?
They want to participate when they want to, as opposed to,
when we
can
need
I put you in charge of this specific thing? And they're like, let me get back to you.
Well, because we do have a volunteer policy, I think, that we've discussed. I don't know if it's worth having one person on the PTO be in charge of actually finding and bringing in volunteers, parent volunteers into the building.
That would
and
be youth, good.
And get, you know, what are teachers interested in? Well, I'm interested in having them run a group, or I'm interested in having them just read to kids, or to work on sight words, or, you know, to run a math.
We just have to be careful that we don't pose it as a
requirement.
Mandatory.
Exactly.
I do know as well as, and they are not, you know, they know they're volunteers, but they also like the perks of, we give them 20 tickets, or they eat, or so our PTO loves having kind of the inside scoop. So they might not be a part of it, and then all of a sudden when it's time for the grind, they show up.
Yeah.
So
I know as a teacher, it's really nice to have a room mother or father.
I know, I would
love
that.
Because then they can communicate with all the parents, and I found so much support that I didn't realize I didn't have. But if there was a school person that organized room mothers and fathers that then organize other things, you could get a lot of bang
for your buck. We've talked about that extensively. But yeah.
Especially with just how things are with COVID and kids behind, and we could use adults.
Yeah.
So my kiddo goes to a charter school for middle school. And one of the things they do at the school, and actually the principal and or vice principal, just depends, they go, but they actually put it out there in their, you know, their email. If you're interested in having parent gatherings or running or being in charge of parent gatherings, like for, and they do it per grade. And what they do is, they set it up, so they had one, I think like the fifth graders, this is in Salt Lake, so they met at Liberty Park. Mm-hmm. But the principal went and got a chance to meet the parents. The principal provided, and the vice principal basically provided all their days that they're available. And I went to a seventh grade one at a parent's family, and only 12 people volunteered, or were there, but it was open up to the entire seventh grade. And anybody that wanted to do it, but then you kind of create these small niches of parents who want to have more involvement. And
was it academic or social?
What's that?
Was it academic or social?
It was
social,
all social.
Or,
it was just social to get the, like, a community. And I think I thought, I'm like, gosh, that's something, you know, Esperanza is a community school. Even if they don't even have to do the gatherings here, like one family had it in their backyard, and it happened to be like the first cold night that we had. And
there's a classroom in the Avs that they really try and push that type of, they try and build their community that way.
But I just really liked it. And the other thing was they had a new principal at Cooper School. And so it gave her an opportunity to get out there. And she set the dates. And granted, they only had four grades. Because it's
5, 6, 7.
My only fear with,
but she did that and gave her a chance to be out there. But the big thing was just getting parents involved, and I don't know if maybe the PTO wants to just do a parent gathering, and like I didn't even bring Cooper to the gathering. It was just
parents. If we did a dance, they would all come to dance.
A parent
Valentine's.
Even the parents come to dance the Valentine's dance.
That is true.
That's one thing I've not done been.
You
I never have. I always would get to see the videos and hear all about it.
Me and Alan are really great DJs, and they love coming and watching. And it's a great time. I think my only concern with trying to recruit, you know, home, like our room parent or like a PTO volunteer in each classroom is I don't want to put any work on the teacher, and I feel like recruiting that person would kind of fall on them. Because it's like I would need to get an email list of every parent they have and trying to, you know, and even that information or requesting that from each teacher, I think would be a little bit of a burden.
I've had some of Cooper's teachers when he was here, where the, like when we went for back to school night, where we wrote down our name and our email phone numbers and yes, I'd be interested in volunteering or I'd be happy to, you know, even cut out things for the teacher, and never were we called upon.
So I think it's the same thing.
Oh, no, I call my people.
I was going to say, like, I think it's the same thing. As
that's
you,
why I like
you as a teacher, then also have to be able to, you know, sometimes to, I am horrible at delegating stuff that I have to then prepare it and get it ready for someone else to take over, provide them instruction, and then chances are they're going to screw it up anyway, and I'm going to have to go back and do it. They're going to cut it, you know.
I definitely plan on having clipboards again out during our Day of the Dead in case, again, and have one. And we do it back to school night. That's kind of one of my biggest push. But I did do a Facebook like call out last year at the end of the year, and that did bring a couple of these people, and then I was able to contact them again. And some of them were like, oh, sorry, no, I'm not interested. But that's probably because we didn't do anything last year.
Right.
Yeah.
So they were like, for what? But that's why I was like, wait, but this is the list this year. And now, you know. But I couldn't give them that list until we came and started this year, and I actually knew for sure we were doing it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that
I did have one question about the Day of the Dead. I was just curious.
Hey, they're not
what,
with us anymore.
Did Barty go
I went ahead and adjourned the meeting at 7:12.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I put it down here.
I think they were.
I think we were going sidebar. Marty was there for quite a while.
He was.
Sorry.
I was just curious.
He might have just forgot to
what type of pandemic things we're taking into consideration as we're bringing folks back in. Because I know Day of the Dead is like, it's really packed. Yeah, that's what I'm, like, what type of things have we discussed about?
So with our games,
as safe as they can be.
With our games specifically, we're trying to change some up where it's kind of like less touching, or we're coming up with different ideas. Like somebody said, a stack the cups game. So like we'll have like tables out. We were thinking about specifically this room, and each kid will have a timer, and it'll be like stack 5 cups. And once you do it, or if you're like the winner, we'll have different baskets. So that's one of, like, we're just gonna change the games up a little bit, and we're gonna have wipes so that there are gonna be so many kids that are volunteering that there's no problem that as one group is going, the other ones are being sanitized.
Yeah.
Definitely we're going to like ask for masks, but we also don't want to get angry if people aren't wearing them.
We can't legally ask.
Right.
Yeah.
We can't require it.
We can't require it. We'll suggest it.
I will say what I like about Salt Lake School District.
Everybody has to wear them.
Yeah, everybody has to wear them.
Yeah. So we won't require them, but we will ask. But
excellent.
I think the big thing will be the change of like lots of like different games that require less touching or an instant to like, you know, freshen up the game and be able to sanitize it a bit.
Pulling out my backpack, it's too heavy. I just find a big backpack, I just keep stuffing it. I've got like 12 notebooks in here that are unnecessary. Okay.
Oh yes, by the way, we were gonna have Maestra Ana Espinosa come today to one of our teachers. But yesterday she had fallen ill. She didn't look quite comfortable coming today.
Well, that's who did we make it through? Was it K-1 and 2? I'm trying to remember which grades we did.
Well, I know we had 6th and we had 5th, and I think
we did first.
Yeah, we were going to start.
And I thought we did kinder.
I was going to start inviting the new teachers this year.
Oh, awesome.
We're going to do one teacher at a time.
Oh,
so
nice.
Hopefully.
Then it doesn't take half the meeting to go through everything.
Yeah, at least Anna will be prepared to hopefully feel better for next month.
Well, good.
Excellent.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll be here so we can discuss the success of Dia de los Muertos.